It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And I'm here tonight to send a message. We are fully and totally committed to fighting for our agenda, and we will not stop until the job is done. This evening, joined together with friends, we reaffirm our shared customs, traditions, and values. We love our country. We celebrate our troops. We embrace our freedom. We respect our flag. We are proud of our history. We cherish our Constitution, including, by the way, the Second Amendment. We fully protect religious liberty. We believe in law and order, and we support the incredible men and women of law enforcement. And we pledge our allegiance to one nation under God.
All right, that was the pretty much the opening of President Donald Trump's speech last night in Phoenix, Arizona. Did you see it? Because that's what I want to talk about today. I think we've been through a pretty difficult past 10 days or so in the country. Some of us wondering, you know, is the fabric tearing apart? And with the departure of some of the staff at the White House, including Steve Bannon, we've wondered, you know, what direction will the president go? What will he do? I have to say that when I saw him speak on Afghanistan just 2 nights ago, I was concerned because he sounded discouraged to me. His voice didn't have the same strength, the same bearing. And I was concerned also that he had compromised in some way because of the guidance of General McMaster, who many of us feel is completely misguided and terribly mistaken on the issue of Islamic terrorism. So all of those discouragements, which I've shared with you, but last night the president laid down another marker. The crowds were overwhelming. The place was packed, and that's interesting because I shared with you yesterday that Facebook, there were lots of Facebook sites that were promoting counter-protesters or protesters to the Trump administration to go to the venue and also to order tickets so that people, there wouldn't be that many people inside the, or at least there would be empty seats inside the venue, but that obviously didn't happen. The Trump people countered by overselling the place, overselling the tickets. And so the place was packed. Last night, also before the speech actually began, Vice President Mike Pence was there to introduce the president. Also on the platform was Ben Carson, Franklin Graham, and of course, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, Alveda King. And, of course, the thing that they all have in common, isn't it interesting? They're all evangelical Christians, each one of them. That's just an aside. This is a political event, but I just think that that's interesting that Franklin Graham was on the platform with him there, Alveda King, you know, showing her support. There was a black gentleman standing just to President Trump's right in the back, blacks for Donald Trump, very enthusiastic, fun guy to watch, actually. A woman in front of him, you know, women for Trump, and of course, you know, that's how it always goes. They make sure that someone is in the camera shot that will send a message to people that are watching from different from all over the country and the world, actually. So that's how it started last night. Now, in terms of the protesters, I found myself wondering, you know, well, what happened? I watched the speech. I think there was only one disruption. I couldn't quite hear what the person said, but it was handled beautifully, and it was over very quickly. So I don't really, I have nothing more to say about that. But this morning, there's an article by the AP, and the title is Thousands of Protesters Flock to Trump Speech in Phoenix. But then when you actually read the text, there's just nothing there. There really is nothing there. There's just it was, I guess, if you were part of Antifa or the protesters against Trump, the Black Lives Matter, whoever might have shown up last night, you might be a little disappointed in what you accomplished last night, because the AP, in spite of that, you know, stellar headline kind of fanning the flames, it just didn't work out. I think it says at one point, I'll read a sentence to you. At one point, a Trump supporter and protester shoved each other. That's probably the, you know, the most incredible thing that they had to report. There was just nothing to say. And I have to say that people in Phoenix, law enforcement and others, really made sure. Police Chief Jerry Williams said that First Amendment rights will be supported, but criminal conduct will be swiftly addressed. I guess the word got out that you could actually get in trouble if you were violent. And so they were not. And I think my understanding is that there were around 2,000 protesters outside the venue, which, of course, is very small. Yesterday, the claim was that over 7,000 had already responded to these various Facebook pages that were advertising and helping, trying to get people tickets and asking people to come and protest. So not a very successful night for the protesters. Thank God. You know, thank God. And President Trump, of course, laid it on the line, the things that he's campaigned on, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to play several clips for you. But before I do that, I want to share further. I was looking, you know, for articles this morning just to see what people were saying. Here's some CBS News. Trump lashes out during combative speech at campaign-style rally in Phoenix. And here's some Vanity Fair. Trump goes off script in hour-long public meltdown. And then there were a lot more headlines. There was another one. Trump threatens, I can't even see this. Trump threatens something. Suggests controversial pardon at Arizona rally. You get the gist of it. And here's a headline. This is in the Real Clear Politics. James Clapper, former head of DIA. I question Trump's fitness for office. Wonder if he's looking for a way out. And he said that after watching President Trump's Tuesday night rally in Phoenix, he questions his fitness for office. You see, this is the narrative. But the rest of us who actually watched the speech didn't question it at all. Now, Trump did go off script. He just spoke, which to me was encouraging because he spoke from his heart. It seemed to me that he spoke what he actually believed. He spent quite a bit of his the first part of his speech talking about Charlottesville, Virginia, which happened just last week, and we all know this, where the protesters gathered, the Virginia governor and the director of Homeland Security for Virginia just stood back and let them do what they would do. And there was violence, and three people died. And it was a disgrace, and of course it was all blamed on Trump, and the report was that Trump didn't act enough. He didn't condemn the Nazis who had gotten the white supremacists have gotten the permit to be in the park and to do their peaceful protest. He didn't say enough bad things about them. And so Trump spent quite a bit of time, President Trump, last night laying out what he actually had said that perhaps we never heard. And so I'm going to play part of that. I did not mind that he went on and on about this. Others complained about it. I didn't mind because who else is going to say this if he doesn't? In what other venue? And so let's listen to it. Here's the first part.
What happened in Charlottesville strikes at the core of America. And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence. But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras. So the, and I mean truly dishonest people, in the media and the fake media. They make up stories. They have no sources in many cases. They say a source says there is no such thing, but they don't report the facts. Just like they don't want to report that I spoke out forcefully against hatred, bigotry, and violence, and strongly condemned the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the KKK. I openly called for unity, healing, and love, and they know it because they were all there. So what I did, is I thought I'd take just a second, and I'm really doing this more than anything else, because you know where my heart is. Okay. I'm really doing this to show you how dishonest these people are. So here is my first statement when I heard about Charlottesville. And I have a home in Charlottesville. A lot of people don't know. Here's the first. Can't believe they haven't figured that one out yet. Now they know. Now they finally know.
Well, all right. That was a little irrelevant, but that's the first part of this. And what he was doing, he pulled out from his pocket the statements that he officially made about Charlottesville. And he said, you haven't heard these, have you? The media knows what I said. This is what I said. They had it, but they didn't print it. Let's listen to the next statement.
But I don't want to bore you with this, but it shows you how dishonest they are. And most of you know this anyway. So here's what I said really fast. Here's what I said on Saturday. We're closely following the terrible events unfolding in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is me speaking. We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. That's me speaking on Saturday, right after the event. So I'm condemning the strongest possible terms, egregious display, hatred, bigotry, and violence. Okay, I think you can't do much about it, right? Okay, but they didn't want to put this on. They had it on initially, but then when they talked, he didn't say it fast enough. He didn't do it on time. Why did it take a day? He must be a racist. It took a day. Dishonest people. So here is me. I hope they're showing how many people are in this room, but they won't. They don't even do that. The only time they show the crowds is when there's a disruptor or an anarchist in the room. I call them anarchists. Because believe me, we have plenty of anarchists. They don't want to talk about the anarchists. So this is me. It has no place in America. I'm talking about hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. What is vital now is a swift restoration of law and order and the protection of innocent lives. No citizen should ever fear for their safety, security in our society, and no child should ever be afraid to go outside and play or be with their parents and have a good time. This is me speaking. Here's further. This is on Saturday, the first one. I did this three times. We have to come together as Americans with love for the nation and true affection. Really, and I say this so strongly, true affection for each other. I didn't say true affection for you and you. I said for each other, all of us, all of us, all of us. But they don't report it. They just let it go. Above all else, we must remember this truth, no matter our color, creed, religion, or political party. We are all Americans first. We love our country. We love our God. We love our flag.
All right, that was President Trump repeating the statements that he had made about Charlottesville that perhaps you didn't hear either, because all we heard was he said there were both sides to this issue. That's all we know, right? So he took the time to explain the statements that he had made that they did not report. Be back right after this.
Oops, there's a piece I missed a little bit.
Grandpa, why do we always pick up litter when we go hiking?
Well, we're just making it nicer for people who come after us a little bit. It's called stewardship.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
It's called stewardship.
I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
Not long ago, it seems like just yesterday, my grandfather came to me and he said, "Son, I want you to preach my funeral. I don't think it's far away." And I said, "Well, Granddaddy, I'm not sure I can do that." He said, "I really didn't ask you if you could do that. I asked you to do that." And I said, "Oh, I think this isn't even a question." He said, "Right, you're going to do it." And I said, "Granddaddy, it's going to be tough." He said, "Doesn't matter. I want you to do it." He said, "Two reasons. One is I want the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached from the pulpit of the church that I've attended my whole life again, very pointedly. If I've got to die to do it, then do it. The other thing I want you to do is when you preach a funeral, make sure the tombstone only has one thing on it, forgiven. Boy, I hope that can be written on yours, forgiven because you've trusted in Jesus Christ."
For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app. Available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Remember when I told you President Trump's worst adversaries would be Republicans in name only, rhinos? Well, Arizona happens to be a breeding ground for a rather ill-tempered breed of rhinos, genetically engineered with pea-sized brains, no sense of direction. One day they go left, the next day they go right. And the most vile rhinos have no backbone, no spine. They're like blobs of jello. That explains why rhino lawmakers in Arizona left President Trump high and dry yesterday. Senator Jeff Flake, Senator John McCain, Governor Doug Ducey boycotted President Trump's campaign rally. All Republicans. But instead of standing alongside their duly elected president, the head of their party, they hightailed it out of town. Dr. Kelly Ward was one of the few to stand with the president. She's running against Senator Flake in the Republican primary. And unlike the current crop of Republicans, she's got a backbone. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
If you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than the fake news and the crooked media, which would rather get ratings and clicks than tell the truth.
Yeah, absolutely true. Absolutely, completely true. I'm playing you excerpts from the speech last night. At the same time, I read to you at least two headlines. One from CBS News: Trump lashes out during combative speech at campaign-style rally. And Trump goes off script, an hour-long public meltdown. And then we have on CNN, we have James Clapper, the former director of national intelligence, saying that he thinks he's wondering about Trump's fitness for office after that speech last night and wonder if he's looking for a way out. Now, if you didn't hear the speech, you would believe them, right? Because this is what they're in the business of doing. They're in the business of destroying. And at this point, it seems like the press has gone so far to the left, I would go so far as to say they really are trying to destroy the foundations of the country. I think that there are a lot of young people in journalism now who have no sense of history, very little knowledge. They may be good writers. Maybe they can spell and do punctuation, or they understand how to do, word documents on their computer. And they know how to put together information, but they don't really know enough to be doing what they're doing and writing what they're writing. They have very short understanding of history. They understand kind of the times in which they live now, but they have no background. Otherwise, why in the world would they even think about going after free speech? You know, this is just an amazing phenomena. So the media, with the complicity of the older guys who are leftists, who are steering the minds and hearts and souls and the course of the younger people who are illiterate and uneducated, we've got a disaster on our hands. And so he's not exaggerating. He's absolutely right. Now, he goes on to criticize. This is actually, you know, it's great because they are liars. They are dangerous. And they are the third rail right now in American politics. So Trump takes them on in about a 3-minute. Well, maybe this is a rant. It's a rant I enjoyed. Let's listen.
The media can attack me, but where I draw the line is when they attack you, which is what they do. When they attack the decency of our supporters. You are honest, hardworking, tax-paying, and by the way, you're overtaxed, but we're going to get your taxes down. You're tax-paying Americans who love our nation, obey our laws, and care for our people. It's time to expose the crooked media deceptions and to challenge the media for their role in fomenting divisions. And yes, by the way, they are trying to take away our history and our heritage. You see that. And I say it, and you know, we're all pros. We're all, like, we have a certain sense. We're smart people. These are truly dishonest people. And not all of them. Not all of them. You have some very good reporters. You have some very fair journalists. But for the most part, honestly, these are really, really dishonest people. And they're bad people. And I really think they don't like our country. I really believe that. And I don't believe they're going to change, and that's why I do this. If they would change, I would never say it. The only people giving a platform to these hate groups is the media itself and the fake news. Oh, that's so funny. Look back there. The live red lights, they're turning those suckers off fast out there. They're turning those lights off fast. Like CNN does not want its falling viewership to watch what I'm saying tonight, I can tell. I mean, the advantage I have is that we do have a big voice. And, you know, they're always saying, like, Twitter or social media. If I didn't have social media, I wouldn't be able to get the word out. I probably wouldn't be standing here, right? I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. If I don't have social media, I probably would not be standing. And do you ever notice when I go on and I'll put, like, out a tweet or a couple of tweets, he's in a Twitter storm again. I don't do Twitter stuff. You know, you'll put on a little tweet, I'm going to be with the veterans today. They'll say, Donald Trump is in a Twitter storm. These are sick people. You know the thing I don't understand? You would think they'd want to make our country great again. And I honestly believe they don't.
Yeah, I honestly believe they don't either. I think that's, is that the end of the clip? All right, we'll say that it is. I think that it's true that, and I've said this before, I know that Donald Trump's tweets, sometimes the president's tweets, sometimes are intemperate. They can be criticized. But I have always believed and stand by this, that he needs to be doing that. He must be doing that. That is the only way he can get around this overwhelming hatred of the media of him, who will filter everything he says. And even the people around him, General Kelly, all of them, if they could, they would filter his remarks. They would temper him. They would make sure he didn't say certain things. In fact, we're to get to something in a minute where he tells you that they told him not to say certain things. And I'm going to get to that in 1 second. So this is the way he can still communicate with the American people. So it's vital. And, you know, I would say it's sort of the same thing as conservatives. If it were not for social media right now, Facebook, in which I really honestly I can't stand Facebook, but I understand its value. Facebook, Twitter, you know, all the ways that we communicate, our websites, that's really the backbone of the conservative movement. And if they snuff out our voices, which they are trying to do right now, they are trying to do that. They're trying to figure out ways then they're already succeeding at that. And many organizations, or refugee resettlement right now, is having a lot of trouble. Ann Corcoran is having trouble getting anything that she's tweeting out. They're accusing her of hateful tweets. Ann's not hateful. She just reports what's going on in refugee resettlement. But because she is against the way it's being handled, they're beginning to censor her. That's just one example. I remember when I posted a video of the David Dalyden, an edited video of the David Dalyden undercover Planned Parenthood videos. It was censored. They took it off the Facebook page. After many, many, many of you had seen it and shared it, they censored it, and they said it was violating their standards. So I'm just giving you two tiny examples. This is just the beginning. Google is working on a whole program or method or technology where they can eliminate any kind of content that is contrary to what they think should be there, things that they call hate. They're calling Trump a racist and an anti-Semite, I mean, and a Nazi, which is really ridiculous. And if you did not know better, if you didn't listen to American Family Radio, if all you saw were headlines like Vanity Fair, Trump goes off script in 1 hour public meltdown, or if you heard James Clapper on CNN say that the president, well, he was questioning that he's not sure he's fit to be president anymore. If that's all you were hearing, then that's what you believe. You know, and that does describe a great amount of the country, no question about it. So we have to shout around. We have to get around. And that's why I didn't mind the president going on and on last night, reading in detail the statements he had actually made after Charlottesville, because you never heard them. So he made sure we heard them last night. Just enough said about that. Now, one of the things he was criticized for last night was his statements about Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You have to understand, Sheriff Joe, I've known him for a long time. Sheriff Joe is 85, 86? He is a big bull of a man. He is very impressive. His credentials are off the charts. They never talk about that. He is a serious law enforcement man who's had international experience, I think, with the DEA. He's been an executive. He's a smart man. There is nothing buffoonish about Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and yet that's what they make of him because he doesn't tweet. You see, you see him through the filter of all these media sources we're talking about. I'm telling you that I know personally that Sheriff Joe is an incredible, incredible patriot. He's been reelected by the people of Phoenix, I don't know how many times, to be their sheriff. And the only way they were able to get him, they denied him a jury trial. They put a judge over. They brought I don't know what the exact charges. It was something about defying an order about arresting illegal immigrants. What he was doing, I'm sure of it, was following the law to the T. But of course, we know how these things get. These prosecutions become political. So this is when Donald Trump stepped in last night, and I want you to hear what he had to say, because he actually, well, we thought he was going to pardon Sheriff Joe last night, but let's let you hear what he actually said. Cut six.
Do the people in this room like Sheriff Joe? So, was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what. He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay?
Yeah.
But I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay? All right. But Sheriff Joe can feel good. The people of Arizona know the deadly and heartbreaking consequences of illegal immigration. The lost lives, the drugs, the gangs, the cartels, the crisis of smuggling and trafficking. MS-13, we're throwing them out so fast, they never got thrown out of anything like this. We are liberating towns out on Long Island. We're liberating. Can you imagine in this day and age? In this day and age, in this country, we are liberating towns. This is like from a different age. We are taking these people. They don't shoot people because it's too fast and not painful. They cut them up into little pieces. These are animals. We are getting them out of here. We're throwing them in jails and we're throwing them out of the country. We're liberating our towns.
You know, in the times that I've interviewed Sheriff Joe, I have to tell you, he's had some of the most compassionate programs for his prisoners. He's the one that built those tent cities and put prisoners in them, made them wear pink T-shirts. He has a great sense of humor, but he does not mistreat his prisoners. And in fact, I remember the prisoners themselves kind of liked Sheriff Joe. And he reminds me a lot of Justice Roy Moore in this respect. They are both men with a backbone of steel. They do not bow to pressure. They believe in doing what's right over what's wrong. They have a sense of justice and fairness and of the law. And, of course, those are the very kinds of people that the left must destroy. They must destroy them. Their voices cannot be allowed to stand. And so they've gone after Sheriff Joe. It took a long time for them to take him down, but they think they've gotten him now. But it sounds like, does it not? President Trump is hinting that once this sentence is given, that he's going to pardon Sheriff Joe. That's what I think is going to happen, and I say thank God for that. And by the way, you may be wondering then what's going to happen with this wall. Well, the president also said something very controversial about the wall. Let's listen to that.
Let me be very clear to Democrats in Congress who oppose a border wall and stand in the way of border security. You are putting all of America's safety at risk. You're doing that. You're doing that. Again, the border patrol today, I said, how important is the wall to some of the folks? I met with a lot of them. And they looked at me, they said, it's vital. It's vital. It's so vital. And you know, we have walls. I don't know if you know, we're already starting to fix a lot of the walls we already have because we don't have to rebuild them. And we want walls that you can see through, in a sense. You want to see what's on the other side. But we're starting to fix a lot of the walls. We've done a lot of work. But I said to them, how are we doing and how important are the walls? And they said, Mr. President, you have no idea. It is desperately needed. We're going to have our wall. We're going to get our wall.
All right. And he also said that if we have to shut the government down, we're going to get our wall, which that's what, you know, the screeching began in Washington. How could he dare do that? Now, I don't know how that's going to play out, but that's certainly what the president wants to do and is willing to do. And I just wanted you to hear what he had to say about that. So he said so much more. It was an excellent speech. You know, you can watch it on YouTube if you want. You can watch the whole thing. And it kind of is encouraging. It's like an encouraging, again, to see other Americans uniting around a vision for America that is the way that we want America to be. You know, fair to people, prosperous, so that we can help the world. We have been the nation that has given its blood and resources to the world, and we've taken nothing in return. We rebuilt Japan after the war. We rebuilt Germany. We rebuilt Vietnam. We have not taken resources. We have not conquered. And we have spread the gospel for the Christian part of this nation. We have sent missionaries all over the world and food, all kinds of things that we have done for the world. And this is the America that we want to restore. It just is. I'm not done. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. the Lord provided manna for the Israelites' 40-year wilderness trek. This was an amazing display of the Lord's provisional omnipotence. Remember, however, the Lord wanted the Israelites to enter the promised land straight away. Manna provision followed Israelite rebellion. The manna stopped once the new Israelite generation ate the promised land's fruit. We are grateful for God's provision always, especially in times of transition. But there is a big difference between transitional provision and the blessings of the promised land.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Children often resemble their parents, but it's more than just inherited DNA that makes them look similar in the eyes of others. It's also their behavior, little mannerisms they pick up at home. And it's one of the reasons adopted children often appear to resemble their adoptive parents. And you know what? The same thing happens to you if, through Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we, as we contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, the more you look at Christ, the more you start to look like Christ. Get Anchor Devotional delivered in print at getanchor.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Amidst all the thrashing over President Trump's executive orders pausing immigration from several failed and/or hostile nations, their intended purpose has been largely obscured. That's because anti-Trump politicians, journalists, and judges don't want us focused on this initiative's central idea, which is to stop importing jihadists, a proposition that enjoys overwhelming public support. That policy was the focus of a friend of the court brief that I and other national security experts filed last week in connection with the Supreme Court's consideration this fall of Mr. Trump's immigration pause. We need to have a basis for filtering out actual or potential jihadists so that we don't add to the numbers of them already here. We believe that filter should be an ideological one. If you are a foreign Sharia supremacist and therefore wish to replace our Constitution, freedoms, and republic with your totalitarian program, stay home. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We're taking power out of the hands of donors and special interests and putting that power back into the hands of the people that voted for us, okay? For us. The same failed voices in Washington who oppose our movement are the same people who gave us one terrible trade deal after another, who gave us one foreign policy disaster after another, who sacrificed our sovereignty, our wealth, and our jobs. We don't need advice from the Washington, D.C. swamp. We need right now to drain the swamp. That's what's happening, too, believe me. Washington is full of people who are only looking out for themselves. But I don't come to Washington for me. You know, I've had a great life. I've had great success. I've enjoyed my life. Most people think I'm crazy to have done this. And I think they're right.
You probably was a little crazy to take on the presidency, given all the luxury and the way he could have lived his life as alternative. Who needed all of this? Who needed the threats to his family and the sacrifices of probably the revenue that he could be making as the businessman that he is? But he did take it on. And many of us are grateful. I think that's just a kind of an amazing thing, even donating his salary. Now, look, I'm not saying... I know, I'm going to get this. So I have to say the obvious. There are things, certainly, of course, Donald Trump is not a perfect man by any means. And so we don't worship him, but we are grateful. Listen, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the things he says, and I'm grateful for the sacrifices he's making. And that's all I'm speaking to right now. And so, all right, he's talking about the Washington swamp. Well, it looks as though, let me just say that this morning, Griff Jenkins did a report on Washington, and in the background was the Capitol building. And in the top of the Capitol, you could see a light lit, a very bright light. And that light is on when Congress is supposed to be in session. That light technically says that they're in session. Well, of course, they're gone. They're all gone. There may be a couple of people in town, but hardly any. But what happened was Mitch McConnell made the decision to technically keep the Senate in session by keeping one or two senators in town, I can't recall which is the number, and to prevent President Trump from appointing any recess appointments. The Republican leader of the Senate did that. The Senate leadership did that. All right, so on the heels of that, President Trump and Mitch McConnell are becoming at odds quite a bit, and they had quite a heated phone call, as I understand it, last week. But with that as the backdrop, I have much more to say about that. But of course, I told you just in the last few days that Mitch McConnell's PAC ran horrible ads in the Alabama Senate race. Now, the Senate race is not over yet, but it was there were nine candidates. It was a runoff race. The top three were Mo Brooks, Justice Moore, and... I can't think of his name. He was the one that Mitch McConnell supported. I'll think of it in just a second. And so Mitch McConnell's PAC, Luther Strange, Mitch McConnell's PAC ran horrible ads against Mo Brooks and Justice Roy Moore, trying to get them defeated so that Luther Strange could be the senator in Washington to do McConnell's bidding. It's blatant. It is so blatant. Well, it didn't work. Because Justice Moore prevailed, and he's picked up. He's at 51% now. And Luther Strange hasn't picked up any percentage points since the other seven candidates have dropped out of the race. And so Luther Strange is on hold at whatever he's on hold at. Can't remember right now. But I do know that Justice Moore has 51%. That's not the point. But the point is that Mitch McConnell did everything he could and will do still. Anything he can to knock out Justice Moore. I'm not quite sure what else they could say badly about Justice Moore, but I'm sure they'll come up with something. So then now you go to Arizona, and you've got Senator Jeff Flake, who has just written a book mocking conservatism. He's been all over television. You've probably seen it. He has mocked the president and his form of, I don't know, it's just an arrogance. It's just, it defies logic. Jeff Flake has such a low rating with Conservative Review, the American Conservative Union, because he's not a conservative. And he was handpicked by John McCain. Who is, what is John McCain? Somebody tell me? Not sure. Confused? Wicked? Evil? Vindictive? I'm not sure. Maybe all of those. But he's certainly the one person that gleefully voted against the health care bill. Look, let me just, I have to clarify. I did not, I'm what they needed to do was completely repeal and replace it. That's what I was for. Nevertheless, the joy and glee with which John McCain stopped the president's victory on that was noted. All right, so that's the backdrop for this. So Kelly Ward, Dr. Kelly Ward, who you've heard join me in this show a couple of times. I've gotten to know Kelly now for the last several months because she challenged John McCain the last time John McCain ran. And, of course, what John McCain did when he ran against Kelly was he moved to the right. All of a sudden, he's for borders. He's for, you know, enforcing our immigration law. He's all this and all that. Of course, he doesn't mean any of it. As soon as he's elected, he goes back to his really bad voting record. So Dr. Ward is challenging now Jeff Flake, and she's presenting a strong challenge. So guess who comes marching in to Phoenix yesterday? Oh, I don't mean physically, but I mean in the form of a pack that's run by Karl Rove and Mitch McConnell. It's run by their top generals. And so they dropped this ad into the Phoenix market yesterday. I want you to hear it. This is an ad against Dr. Kelly Ward, who's challenging Jeff Flake. Let's listen.
1 year ago, Arizona Republicans rejected Chemtrail Kelly Ward. Remember why? Ward wasted your tax dollars for a town hall on chemtrail conspiracy theories and sponsoring chemtrail legislation.
I'm open. I introduce legislation for constituents all the time.
About another chemtrail town hall?
I'd do it again. Of course I would do it again.
Chemtrail Kelly's got her head in the clouds with crazy ideas. She bizarrely blamed John McCain for ISIS.
John McCain is directly responsible for the rise of ISIS.
Yet dangerously calls for restraint in fighting them.
What is your response to ISIS?
Restraint and realism.
Now, after losing big league to John McCain, Chemtrail Kelly says he should resign so she can be senator.
Step away as quickly as possible.
I should be at the top of the list for appointment to that Senate seat.
Embarrassing behavior, dangerous ideas. No wonder Republicans rejected her just 1 year ago. Chemtrail Kelly, not conservative, just crazy ideas.
All right, so you get the pattern here. Kelly Ward is crazy. Of course, the president is unhinged. He's unfit for office. He is what is the statement here? He has a meltdown. You know, the things that we believe in, they don't believe in. Mitch McConnell doesn't. Karl Rove doesn't. By the way, Karl has made millions doing what he's doing. I don't ever wonder why he stayed in Washington, why he's staying at his post, because it's a money-making machine. I don't think it's working out so well for them now, though, honestly. So that's what they're doing. By the way, the president tweeted support for Kelly Ward. In fact, this is what he said earlier in the week. That's probably why they ran the ad. Great to see that Dr. Kelly Ward is running against Flake, Jeff Flake, who is weak on borders, crime, and a non-factor in the Senate. He's toxic. That's from the president. So the counterpunch was for Mitch McConnell and Karl Rove and their PAC, in disgracing Kelly Ward the way they did. And of course, what they do, I've told you this, they will either make, when I say they, I'm talking about the establishment. They go into primaries and they either create something horrible about a candidate, or they use something that's partially true and they label and defame like they did Kelly in that ad. I don't know anything about Chemtrail. I would have to say if Kelly embraced something called Chemtrail and it was wrong, let's just say that's true. But I have to say that Kelly Ward is for enforcing the borders, building the wall. She's for natural marriage. She's for protecting the unborn. She is for cutting taxes. She is for fiscal responsibility. She's for a strong military. I could go on and on. You see, those are the things that she represents. But those are crazy ideas, crazy, crazy ideas, according to Mitch McConnell and his PAC. Do you see how this game is played? And so I want to share something else with you. Well, you know what? I'm gonna play this next clip from President Trump, because last night at the rally, you'll hear, first of all, he alludes to advice he got about not mentioning names, but then you'll see how he handles it. It's actually pretty funny. Let's listen.
They all said, Mr. President, your speech was so good last night. Please, please, Mr. President, don't mention any names. So I won't. I won't. No, I won't vote. One vote away, I will not mention any names. Very presidential, isn't it? Very presidential. And nobody wants me to talk about your other senator, who's weak on borders, weak on crime. So I won't talk about him. Nobody wants me to talk about him. Nobody knows who he is. And now, see, I haven't mentioned any names. So now everybody's happy. But we are going to get rid of Obamacare. I will never stop. One vote. I will never stop. We're going to get rid of Obamacare.
All right. So you got the point. And today, Hot Air is publishing some stats that I think are interesting. They said Mitch McConnell's approval in Kentucky is down to 18%. Mitch McConnell's approval rating in Kentucky is down to 18%. Trump's approval rating in Kentucky is 60 to 30. I don't know what this means. 60/36. So I don't know why they have two numbers there. They say Rand Paul is awful, also underwater. He's 20 points better than McConnell. So, I mean, I just think that's amazing that McConnell's approval rating in Kentucky is down to 18%. And we saw in the Alabama race, there was a poll that was done this is the poll that showed that Justice Moore is at 51% and Luther Strange has not gained any percentage points at all since the other seven candidates dropped out of the race. So in that poll, they asked the people that responded to the poll if McConnell's entrance into the race in terms of running ads against Mo Brooks and Justice Moore, if his position on this, if the fact that he wanted them to vote for Luther Strange had any impact on them, and it's something like 50% said they would be more likely to vote against Luther Strange because of McConnell's support. So I'm telling you, things are shifting. I know this has been a difficult last 10 days, but I just feel like there's still a lot of spine left out there in America, and still this sense of we are not giving this over to these crazy people that we see marching in the streets. I saw something yesterday. Where was this report? I think this is stunning. I did not know, but I will say to you that there was a black woman at the Charlottesville rally in Virginia. And this is what the report is. "You can't do it this way," pleaded a black woman near tears, who spontaneously grabbed the microphone in the midst of the shouting, "It's killing our country. Please stop." That's what she said to the protesters. And I don't know if it's the same woman, but adjacent to that is a picture of a black woman with a mic. She's holding a sign, and it says, "Stop pretending your racism is patriotism. Stop pretending your racism is patriotism." And see, I don't think she's talking about, I think she's talking about racism on both sides. It is not patriotism, and that's what she's trying to say. And she's saying, "You can't do it this way. It's killing our country. Please stop." So see, I think Americans of all colors and stripes who truly, we're raising our kids together. We're in this together. This is our country, our homeland. And to see people want to destroy it and to have no respect for authority, to want to do violence, to want to open the borders so that we have no distinctions, so that our own people cannot make decent wages and get decent health care because we can't, we're being buried under the load and the weight of trying to take care of everyone. Let us get solvent, take care of our country, and then we can help the world. We have in the past, we will again. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.